feel as if Tay and I are old pros at this because we did this in Valley Forge, and some of you hopefully were there that night. When we do our speaker series, it's particularly moving when we get to bond a bit with people like Taya, because we've all seen the film. I bet most people in the room have, and I remember sitting there, Ro and I saw it in a movie theater, and just riveted at the end as those people on a rainy day stood at attention. That's America. And when people say that America is not out there, you know how I feel about that and how people in the room feel about it. It is. And Taya travels the country in her own mission that we wanted to talk with her tonight about, that is very real, very difficult, and very important. So Taya, thanks for coming back to Philadelphia again.
No, thanks for having me. You all gave me such a warm welcome. Thank you, I appreciate it. There's good people out here.
Well, Taya, you and I talked on the radio tonight about your mission now, continuing that on. And the film, really, I think sometimes we get past it because of your husband and your husband's story and the drama of it and what Clint Eastwood and Bradley Cooper, you just don't do better than that. But buried in there was the other story, your story, and the story of a family, the real story of military families and first responders who want to do the right thing, want to be patriotic, want to be supportive, but have their own needs as a family. Rose here tonight and knows, just being a big mouth talk show host, some of the challenges of that is some of the things that you have to give up. Speak to that when you travel the country now of what people tell you what they're dealing with and how you try to bond with them and help them.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of answers to that, but just in general, I found that, and when it's one of the reasons I really wrote American Wife, was there are a lot of people out there who have the same story, really, that Chris and I did. I mean, some of the details are different, but in essence, it's the same. And there are a lot of people who just didn't have the voice and didn't want to talk to anybody else in their squadron or platoon or a police department, because there's almost like a stigma. You don't want to be the person that can't hack it, sort of thing. And I remember there was a woman, one of the places I went, she came up with tears in her eyes afterward, and she was a wife of a policeman. And she said, I just wanted to thank you because I've said that to my husband before, that I need you here. And her eyes filled with tears, and she said, I would have never told anybody that. You're the first person I've ever told, because it makes me feel like I'm not patriotic. It makes me feel selfish, like I'm not supportive. And, you know, my heart just broke because it is true. And I remember when we watched the movie, my main goal was that Chris was represented accurately. Mm-hmm. If that happened, I felt like everything else was fine, but I knew he wasn't here to give his own voice to it if something didn't go right. But there were times where, you know, I was watching in the movie and feeling like cringing a little bit, because it's not showcasing the best of our days. It's showcasing a little bit of that, but for a lot of it, it's the hardship, and that's okay, because that's what's interesting and that's what's poignant and that's what makes you understand the story better, and you only have so much time. But I do remember feeling embarrassment at the time that I was going through it, and even with the movie a little bit. And so one of the things that we're finding across the country is that there are people that just need to know that it's okay. And if they're not in the military and they're not a first responder, we're getting the same response from a lot of other couples who have said, you know, my husband and I have had similar situations, and you give us hope that it's going to be okay. Or there are husbands that say, you know, I kind of understand my wife a lot better just looking at it one step removed. And so it's taught me a couple things. One is that, you know, it's important for us to put our flaws out there in a lot of ways, because a lot of other people need to know that, you know, and it's social media and it's Facebook and it's airbrushed and everything in this world seems like it should be perfect, and it's hard enough just to live in this world without having that pressure of trying to have everything be perfect. And so sometimes I think it's really important to just be real with other people and own it and know that it's okay and that they're suffering too, whether they say it or not. And the other thing, just, and I'll make this pretty brief, but we've been doing a lot with the Patriot Tour, and you brought up Marcus Luttrell, and mm-hmm. we have some other Patriots doing that. And one of the best things about that is that I'm seeing there are so many patriotic people in this country who are hungry for more. They get it. They have the same values that all of you do. You're just not seeing them on the news, and that you're not probably getting in a situation where you have a large group of them together to feel that spirit or that energy. I mean, a night like tonight is perfect for that, but a lot of times we don't have nights like this all the time to encourage us. And I'm just here to tell you, there are a lot of people in this country who are like-minded to how you all feel and who have faith in God and who want this country to succeed and who are okay with speaking their minds.
Tell you, tomorrow, in fact, you're headed to New York, and I wanted to tell you, it's after my show, so you can watch. that I found out that Taya will be back. I didn't know this before, and a place I sometimes differ with them on politics, but I don't differ with the Fox News Channel representing what I call traditional America, what you're talking about. She'll be on outnumbered tomorrow with three other women against one lucky guy or unlucky guy, I guess. We don't know who that guy is. And there's an example of a vehicle of Fox getting it, how Americans have responded to the Kyle story, not just the film and then it's gone and it's over with, but that what Taya does on a regular basis. Now, when you go around the country, too, we talked about this. You hear people, not just families, talk, but they're talking the issue of the day is not the economy, not even the presidential race, but terrorism, what we've seen among us, and that's what your husband went over there to try to combat. What's the sense of what people tell you around the country? Are they angry at this? Are they just afraid? Or what's the feeling that you get?
I think it's both, and I want to just touch on something you said in the beginning. I hope people know when I'm out in the country or if I'm on outnumbered, anything like that, I hope that I'm just seen as a representative of maybe military marriages and first responder marriages, but I never want anybody to think that it's about me. I don't think it's about me. I don't think it's about Chris either. I just think there's like a general need for understanding for all of us, and so I hope I represent, for any of you who are military and first responders or family members, I hope I represent you well, because that's truly what it's all about. And when you talk about terrorism, I feel like there's a mix. Most of it is that it's unsettling. That's what I hear from a lot of people, that they believe that it's here. They believe that it's not going anywhere. They believe that we need to stand up and fight. Sometimes they don't know how to do that. And I think there are also a lot of people like me who, honestly, I don't want to accept this reality. I don't. I want things to be peaceful. I want to think that it's not going to happen in a school. It's not going to happen in a church. It's not going to happen in a hospital or a train or a plane. And yet I know, just like all of you do, that no matter what I want, the reality is that it can happen in all of those places. And it's a very hard pill to swallow. And to do that and to still feel optimistic about our country and to still feel like we're going to be okay and to not live in fear, but to still accept that reality, I think is a challenge that the other percentage of people that I meet face. You know, it's a hard pill to swallow. But then the larger segment is probably, you know, ready for us as a country to get on it and get after it.
You have two children now. Talk a little bit about them. It seemed to be, based upon the conversations I've had, they've adjusted to this reality of dad and what you do traveling around the country. Were they very young when it would happen with Chris?
Yeah,
that's able to adjust to it?
Yeah. They're pretty young. They're, you know, young elementary school. And, you know, it's interesting. We talk about Chris probably every day in some way. It's not a planned thing. It just, his name comes up, whether it's talking about bacon or his favorite color being green or what daddy would do or one of daddy's friends or something like that, or we're making a joke. A lot of times it's that kind of stuff. And then sometimes my daughter in particular will identify with these feelings more, and I talk about that a lot in American Wife. They're different in how they deal with their grief, just like everybody is. They're just little people. And you know, my son this week, we had a kind of a powerful moment where, you know, I told him I'm sorry that he lost his dad, because we were talking about some men things and things he could do with some other grown men, and I could tell there was a little bit of a sadness there. And it was late at night, we were just cuddling, I was rubbing his back before he went to bed, and you know, I just saw him kind of wipe a tear or two, and you know, that's just the way it is. It's our reality. But at the same time, they laugh a lot. They travel with me, so I'm feel incredibly blessed that we have a teacher that travels with us. Like they were when I was here getting ready, they went to Independence Hall and City Hall, and you know, they get to see things that they wouldn't have gotten to see otherwise. And they get to meet a lot of really good people and have some unique experiences, but ultimately they have their faith. They had that before their dad was killed.
Yeah, and talk about that a little bit. That's the other thing in your book. It's unabashed, straightforward. You talk about your faith, and you talk about it in terms of the strength of that. And don't just gloss over it. There's a lot in the book about that.
Yeah, there. You know what? My faith is something that I've really grown into in the past decade, I would say. And you know, I've got to say, I really believe that, you know, our suffering is for a purpose, and that God does bring the beauty through the ashes. And when we're on tour, I have a really good friend of mine, a couple of them, that said, yeah, I lost a leg, but if you said you'd give me my leg back in $1 million, I wouldn't take it because of the lessons that I've learned. And I'm not quite there yet. I would still take my husband back. But I still understand that I have learned a lot, and I am a different person, and it has changed me a lot. And I'm closer to God probably than I was, or maybe it's just in a deeper, maybe I go to him more often because I need it. But I also got a lot closer to him when Chris was at war. And Chris helped me with that, and he understood the Bible much better than I did. And I've had these moments of divinity that I wouldn't have had otherwise. And I've had other people tell me about their moments that I wouldn't have known otherwise. And my kids have seen it too. And, you know, my brother-in-law, it's my sister's husband. He's Australian, and he grew up in Catholic school, but he didn't go to church, you know, as an adult and whatever. And we get this thing where it's like sometimes we're doing something for the foundation and our body is just covered in chills. And if it's happening to both of us at the same time, it's almost like something is happening here, and we usually go with it on faith because we don't have all of the reasons maybe behind us that we would like to, but it ends up, those situations end up being the biggest things that we know it's not because of anything we did, but they're the biggest maybe events with the foundation. So divinity, yeah. I get.
A very smart guy, I don't want to identify him, is here tonight when we saw you in Valley Forge, say you're kind of like the comforter in chief, more so than anybody in the country. And that is a very, very noble thing. But how do you deal with that every day? Because I just saw how emotional you were to relive this, to have other people come up and tell you of something that happened to them or the strain on their family. Maybe their loved one is overseas right now or, you know, somewhere. How do you deal with that on an everyday basis? How do you, does that energize you, or is that a draining thing for Taya Kyle to deal with?
You know, it's a very good question. Sometimes I think for the longest time, and I talk about this a little bit in American Wife too, I've just been running, and I think that the blessing of me having so many things to do is that part of my coping mechanism is to run so fast and do so much that I don't have to sit in my pain. But then I do have my moments, and sometimes it's scary, I think, to let myself cry. I notice a lot of times I don't really let myself go fully, and I know I kind of need to, and sometimes I'll feel like, not to get too detailed, I think we're done eating, but sometimes I feel like the surge, like I'm going to throw up, and I can't, and so I stuff it down, and I know it's not healthy. But at the same time, I have these things to do that bring beauty and remind me that the world isn't so bad, and that there are a lot of good people, and if we can do good things for these marriages, when we had a retreat for the Chris Kyle Frog Foundation is the name of the foundation, and we had these couples that were on the video that we were watching, and they were talking about their experiences, and I just cried like a baby. And it's because it's beautiful. I want that for them. I'm aware that I didn't get the time that I wanted to do that, but then to see it with somebody else and to know that we were able to give that opportunity to somebody else makes me feel like life is going to be okay and it's going to be better for them because of some hardship, and that's a blessing. The other thing is there are days where I feel like, and not as many anymore, really, but there were days where I felt like I was going to get in the ditch and I was afraid I wouldn't get back out, or, you know, I couldn't stop. And I had some very good friends who told me, it's okay if you go in the ditch. We're not going to let you stay there. You can go there. We'll get you out. You know, and I just think, man, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing for somebody else to tell me and to really do. And I knew that. And I've seen the beauty of people that just show up. They don't even know what they can do, but sometimes they're just sitting quietly next to you. And that's a beautiful thing. And I'll just kind of wrap with this. But my kids, you know, I could sit and be very bitter and in a lot of pain that they don't have their dad because he was amazing. He was truly an amazing father. And yet I can comfort myself by saying, you know, they didn't get what I wanted for them. They didn't get what Chris wanted for them in that respect. But they've also seen the love of a lot of grown men who are good family men, who love their families, and who take my kids along for the ride on things, and they've gotten to see compassion from a larger number of people than they maybe would have seen otherwise, and they've gotten some independence, and they do have that deep faith. I'll share this with you to kind of wrap that, but for some reason I just feel like saying it, so I'm going to. I think I write about this in the book too, but one of the things with my kids that I've noticed, and they can really, you know, kids can teach us all a lot, but even shortly after Chris was killed, some of the prayers we would pray about what we were grateful for and thankful for, and quite often, and they still do today, maybe not as often, but it's just because we've said it a lot, I think, but they thank God for their dad. They just say, thank you for the time that we had with him. And I think, what a beautiful thing, because none of us are guaranteed the time with the people we want or doing the things that we want, but to not be bitter and broken and angry. Not that there aren't moments for that, but But to just say, man, we got to have that incredible person with us who inspires us to do more today, to just focus on the gratitude with that, I feel like it's a powerful thing. And I think that's where I try to live most of the time, is in that space where I'm just grateful.
Well, I told you before, too, I think the film, that's the part that's another underplayed part. What a dad. Mm-hmm. Just the scenes that we saw, aside from the dramatic stuff with the kids throughout all that. It was very clear. And I think you're happy, too, with the way this has been portrayed and how the editors and you have put together the book.
Yeah, I think so. I have Sharon Rosenblum with me. She's from HarperCollins, and they've been an incredible partner with American Sniper and American Wife and American Gun. Like, they're just a really good core group of people to work with. And the same thing with the movie. I feel like it blessed a lot of people that needed to hear it, from the Vietnam era, different wars in between, and I think even wars in the future. And that's one of the ways I think God brings beauty through the ashes, because there aren't very many people that I know, and I don't know a lot of them, I know a few, who've had their movies done or their life stories done, and they're not always at peace with it. And they don't always, the movie itself doesn't bless other people. And I only know two stories, but people that left that movie and in the parking lot said to somebody else, like, they wanted to know God, they wanted to come to Jesus, they wanted to be baptized, something like that. Who would think that? I would never in a million years think that would happen from this movie, but I do think it's one of the ways that beauty through the ashes happens, and all the people are sort of drawn to the story that have these incredible hearts that really get it, and I think that's what makes it so powerful.
Without a doubt, on a very positive and kind of fun note, too, person, this is what talk radio people do. Tonight I'm doing a broadcast. Taya Kyle, they know you're here. They're dropping stuff on my desk that you beat one of the world champion NRA shooters, maybe as good as your husband if possible, that we should not mess around, that you are somebody who is to be reckoned with. Is that true?
It's maybe misstated a little bit. It's fun to think of it that way, but it actually was tracking point technology. And I'll make this kind of quick, but it's a technology for a weapon system that Chris helped develop, just by telling the founders of the company all the calculations from the Earth's rotation to all the ballistics and all the things that go into a long-range shot for a sniper. And they put that technology into a gun, and it calculates within a nanosecond all of those things. And so this gun, really, the idea of it is to get into the hands of our first responders and veterans. And one of I'm a novice shooter. I shot against a world champion, like you said. He's the NRA pistol, rifle, and shotgun combined. He's the world champion. And he was so kind. He's a police officer in New Jersey for 28 years. He was so amazing to say that he would do this, because he knew it was an exhibition to show the gun. He was trying, though, because if he won, he got $1 million. Yeah. So don't think that I'll just tell you this funny little side story. But John McHale, who founded Tracking Point, is such a nice person. And right the day before the event, I met Bruce, who's the champion. And so I wasn't so cruel as to say this 5 minutes before the event, but I did tell John that I considered waiting until 5 minutes before the event. And I said, John, because if Bruce won, he got $1 million. If I won, nothing, because that was the expectation. I mean, the whole idea was to say he believes in this gun so much that he'd pay someone $1 million. And so I said, John, I spent some time with Bruce, and this is true, the other night, and he said if he won the $1 million, that Chris Kyle Frog Foundation would get a sizable donation. And he said that? And I said, yeah. So it got me to thinking, what's my incentive to win this thing? And I said, I kind of feel like passing you a paper and a pen right now, like looking at some numbers. But it was funny because he stopped for a second and looked at me, like just went, like almost face white. And he said, no, that's not you. And he pulled me in for a hug, but like he was like, no, that's not your character. You wouldn't do that. But anyway, I didn't, and I did showcase the gun's technology, and it's fabulous, and I think it will truly save lives for our first responders and veterans. Let me just tell you this one piece, because it's so cool. There's like a brick wall, and you cut out a hole, and one of the shots is that you put the rifle outside on a shelf like they would overseas, and I wear a special set of glasses, and in the glasses there's a TV screen that shows me what the scope is seeing. So I'm completely encased in this thing, and you stick the gun outside, and then I can align it and tag it and hit a target at 500 to 1,000 yards, probably more, but that's what we were shooting at, without even doing anything but exposing my hands. And so I think of Chris's friend, all of the logos that you see involved with Chris have a cross over the right eye, and that was to honor his friend Ryan Jobe, who was shot in Iraq in the right eye. And that's a perfect example of somebody who was exposed. He was in a sniper position on a rooftop and got enemy fire in his right eye. If he had this technology, and he died in surgery 3 years mm-hmm. later, and from those surgery to correct some of the, right. the effects of the wound. If he had had that technology, the only thing that would have happened to him is his hand would have gotten shot. And so that, to me, just I just think we're seeing the future, and that's the whole goal of it is to get it in the hands of our military and first responders.
Taya Kyle, everyone, our National Person of the Year here for 2015. Taya, thank you very much.
Thank you
for joining us tonight in Philadelphia. Thanks for sharing that with us. Taya Kyle, everyone.
Thank you. God bless y'all.